Welcome to Lesson 8. This lesson will show you how you can use Windows 95 to maintain your computer setup. Specifically, we'll go over a few facts about your computer's hard disk and floppy disks. Then you'll see how Windows lets you easily add new software programs to your system. We'll also examine a few ways you can maintain your computer's hard disk. You'll see how to check your disk space, and then you'll learn about scanning and defragmenting your hard disk to make it more efficient. I'll also show you how to make more room on your hard disk by emptying your recycle bin. Finally, we'll go over how to format a floppy disk. During this lesson, you're going to need your Windows 95 floppy disks or CD-ROM. You might want to make sure they are handy before continuing with the lesson. Look over the lesson topics and then click the play button to continue. Later in the lesson, we're going to be working with both your hard disk and a floppy disk, so I want to make sure you know a little bit about them. Your hard disk is located inside your computer, and it stores most of the files needed by your computer to run. Just like other storage containers, your hard disk can only store a certain amount of information. This information is measured in kilobytes, or megabytes, or even gigabytes. A hard disk can contain anywhere from 20 megabytes to several gigabytes. As your hard disk fills up, it might become necessary to clean it up a little and to make more space. This lesson shows you a few ways to do this. Look over the screen and then click the play button to continue. Another type of disk you'll be working with is a floppy disk. A floppy disk holds just a small amount of information, about 1 megabyte. To work with a floppy disk, you insert it into your computer's floppy drive. There are two sizes of floppy disks and drives, a 3.5-inch size and a 5.25-inch size. Your computer probably contains at least one floppy drive. Later in the lesson, you're going to be working with a floppy disk. Let's go ahead and insert it into the drive now. First, locate a blank floppy disk, or one that you don't need anymore. Click the play button after you've found one. If you have a 3.5-inch floppy, insert the metal part of the disk first. Gently push it into the drive until you feel the drive grab it. If you have a 5.25-inch floppy, insert the end of the disk that has an oval on it first. After the floppy is in the drive, you'll probably have to flip the lever on the outside to its locked position. Go ahead and insert your floppy now. Then click the play button to continue with the lesson. The fun part about owning a computer is that you can add new programs, depending on your software budget, of course. When you buy a new software program, you generally need to install it on your computer before you can run it. There are several ways to install new programs in Windows 95. If the program comes on a CD-ROM and you have a CD-ROM drive, you might just need to insert the CD into the drive. Depending on the program and how Windows is set up, the installation part of the new program will automatically appear. However, not all CDs work this way, and many programs come on floppy disks. When this is the case, Windows offers another convenient way to install the new program. It's located in the Control Panel folder, which we worked with earlier in the course. To bring it up, first double-click the My Computer icon. Double-click the Control Panel folder. The Add Remove Programs icon is the one we want. Double-click it now. If you have added more Windows 95 components during this course, such as WordPad, this dialog box might look familiar. The first property sheet, called Install Uninstall, lets you add and remove software programs. If this sheet is not currently in front, click on its tab now. The lower section of this sheet allows you to remove programs that contain an uninstall feature approved by Windows 95. Let me quickly show you the first few steps to install the new program. Click the Install button. Windows prompts you to insert the first floppy disk of the new software, or the CD-ROM. You don't have to do that now, but if you actually do this sometime, Windows will then find the setup program and run it for you. From there, the new software's setup program will give you step-by-step instructions for installing the program. Click the Cancel button in the Install Program dialog box. Now let's look at the Windows Setup Sheet. Click its tab. When you or someone else installed Windows 95 on your computer, you were probably given a choice as to which Windows programs and utilities would be installed. All of the available Windows 95 components are listed here, giving you the opportunity to load up additional components or get rid of ones you don't need. Most of the components you see here represent groups of other components. For example, the Accessories item contains some of the items found in your Accessories menu, as well as other menus. If the checkbox to the left of the item is gray, then only some of the available components are currently installed. Later in the course, we're going to be working with sounds. Let's make sure your computer has the sounds you're going to need. Windows 95 comes with several groups of sound effects, which are contained within the multimedia component. Click inside the lower part of the vertical scroll bar until you see the multimedia component. Next, click on the word multimedia, but do not click on its checkbox. Click the details button located just below the description area. The multimedia dialog box should now be displayed. Click inside the lower part of the vertical scroll bar until you see the sample sounds component. If the sample sounds component does not have a check next to it, click inside the checkbox. If it already has a check in it, select any of the other sound schemes. Now click the OK button in the multimedia dialog box. Click the OK button in the Add Remove Programs dialog box. Windows should now be prompting you to insert either the Windows 95 CD-ROM or a certain floppy disk. Go ahead and do that now. Click the OK button in the Insert Disk message. It will take a few moments for Windows to copy the sound files onto your computer. If it seems to be taking a while, you can pause the audio and then resume it when Windows is finished. When Windows is finished, the Properties dialog box and Add Remove Programs dialog box will disappear. When this happens, close just the Control Panel window. By the way, Windows 95 might have opened up a window called Windows 95 CD-ROM if you inserted a CD-ROM. If this happened, close that window now by clicking its Close button in the title bar. One thing to keep in mind when you're adding new software is that you need to have enough disk space to fit the new program. If you think you're running out of room, you can check your available disk space. There are several ways to check your disk space. My favorite way is through the My Computer window. Right-click on your hard disk icon, which is probably labeled C. Next, highlight and click the Properties item. The Properties dialog box gives you a graphical representation of how much disk space is free. The used space is represented by blue and the free space by magenta. Although you might have quite a bit of free space on your hard disk, this space might not be used very efficiently. Files are generally stored in chunks of space that are right next to each other on your hard disk. But as files are added and removed, these chunks of space become scattered around the disk, and some files are actually broken up and stored in separate areas of the disk. When this happens, the disk and files are referred to as fragmented. When a disk or file becomes fragmented, it takes longer to access information. Windows offers a tool to defragment your hard disk. Click the Tools tab. The lower section of this sheet tells you the last time, if any, your disk was defragmented. But before defragmenting, it's generally a good idea to check your disk for errors. If the disk defragmenter comes across an error, it stops and prompts you to fix it. The first item on this sheet is used to scan your hard disk for errors, as well as fix them on the fly. When I clean up my hard disk, I first use the error checking tool, also called scan disk, and then defragment it. Since both of these procedures take a while, we won't carry them out during this lesson. Zoom's How Do I helper provides step-by-step instructions for using both of these tools. Close the Properties dialog box by clicking the Cancel button. After cleaning up your hard disk, you might want to free up some space. One way to do this, of course, is by deleting unwanted files. You learned how to delete files in an earlier lesson. Another way to free up space is by emptying your recycle bin. If you recall, when you delete a file, it is generally sent to the recycle bin where it stays until you permanently remove it. The files in the recycle bin actually take up disk space, so removing those files frees up space. First, let's make sure that Windows is set up to send deleted files to the recycle bin. You should have an icon on your desktop labeled the recycle bin. It probably has a picture of a trash can on it, and it might be hiding underneath the My Computer window right now. Find it, and then click the right mouse button on it. Highlight and click the Properties item. The Recycle Bin Properties dialog box should be displayed. In the Global sheet, make sure the option called Use One Setting for All Drives is selected. If the circle next to the option is not filled in, click inside the circle. Next, make sure there is not a check mark in the option called Do Not Move Files to the Recycle Bin. If there is a check mark, click inside the box to remove it. Click the OK button. Next, let's delete some files to make sure your recycle bin is not empty. Click the right mouse button on your main hard disk icon in the My Computer window. Highlight and click the Explore item. The Explorer window should now be open and should be displaying the contents of your hard disk. In the left pane of the window, locate the folder called Zoom Samples. If you don't see it, click inside the lower part of the vertical scroll bar until you do. When you have located the Zoom Samples folder, click the plus sign next to it. Click the Recipes folder in the left pane. In the right pane, click the file called Shortbread. Hold down the Control key on your keyboard and click the file named Rhubarb. Press the Delete key on your keyboard. If you see a confirmation message from Windows, click the Yes button. Now close the Explorer by clicking its Close button in the title bar. Next, open up the recycle bin by double-clicking its icon on the desktop. The recycle bin window displays the files that you have recently deleted from your computer. The purpose of the recycle bin is to give you a second chance at retrieving deleted files. In other words, the files aren't really deleted from your computer until you remove them from the recycle bin. Let me show you how to restore a deleted file. First, locate the shortbread file. If you don't see it listed, click in the lower part of the vertical scroll bar until you do. When you have found the shortbread file, click the right mouse button on the file name. The restore item sends the file back to its original location. In this case, the recipes folder within the Zoom Samples folder. Click the restore item. The file is now restored and no longer appears in the recycle bin window. Now let's empty the recycle bin, which will permanently remove all the deleted files from your computer. There are several ways to do this, but we'll use the File menu. Click on the File menu now. Highlight and click the Empty Recycle Bin item. If Windows prompts you to confirm this action, click the Yes button. The Recycle Bin window should now be empty. Remove the window by clicking its Close button in the title bar. Now let's switch gears and see how to format a floppy disk. When you format a disk, you erase everything on it and prepare it so that Windows can work with it. When you want to copy a file from your computer onto a floppy, you need to make sure the disk is formatted. First, insert a floppy disk into your floppy drive. The first part of this lesson explained how to do this. The format feature can be found on the pop-up menu of any disk drive icon. Go ahead and click the right mouse button on the floppy drive icon in the My Computer window. It's probably labeled A or B. Highlight and then click the format item. The format dialog box should now be displayed. By the way, make sure the title bar refers to formatting a floppy disk, not your hard disk. In the format type section, make sure the full option is selected. If the circle next to it is not filled in, click inside the circle. In the other section, make sure the display summary option is selected. If the box next to it does not contain a check mark, click inside the box to add one. Now click the Start button in the Format dialog box. Windows takes a couple of minutes to format the floppy. Pause the audio now and then resume it when you see the Format Results dialog box. Windows displays the results of the format, such as the total amount of available space. Click its Close button. Now click the Close button in the Format dialog box. The last thing I'm going to show you in this lesson is how to control the sounds Windows makes when certain things happen. For example, you probably hear a short piece of music when you turn on Windows, and another when you shut it down. You may also hear something when you open or close a program. You can control these sounds by using an icon in the Control Panel. First, double-click the Control Panel folder in the My Computer window. Next, double-click the Sounds icon. The Sounds Properties dialog box should now be displayed. The top section lists all the different things that can happen in Windows, such as closing a program. You might also see sound events related to other programs installed on your computer. If an event has a sound associated with it, a picture of a loudspeaker appears next to it. Let's add or change the sound associated with closing a program. If you don't see the Close Program event listed, scroll down by clicking inside the lower part of the vertical scroll bar. When you have found the Close Program item, click it. Now look in the Sound section below the Events list. If the Close Program event already has a sound associated with it, the name of the sound will appear in the Name rectangle. If there isn't a sound associated with it, you'll see the word None. On the far right side of the Name rectangle is a down-pointing triangle. Click it once. The drop-down list displays all the sounds that are currently installed on your computer. Near the top of the list, you should see a sound called Chimes. If you don't see it listed, click inside the top part of the scroll bar until you do. By the way, if the Chimes sound is already assigned to your Close Program event, find another sound if you want. When you have located the Chimes file, highlight it and click it. The Chimes file should now appear in the Name rectangle. By the way, you can usually hear a sample of the sound by clicking the right-pointing triangle next to the preview box. However, while the Zoom Tutor program is running, you won't be able to hear the sample, because our program is using your computer's sound card right now. Go ahead and save the new sound event by clicking the OK button. When you close the Zoom Tutor program later, you should hear the chimes ring. If you'd like to change the sound back to the way it was, just repeat the last section of this lesson and choose the original sound. Now close the Control Panel window and My Computer windows by clicking their Close buttons in the title bar. This concludes Lesson 8. Remember to check out Zoom's How Do I Helper, which provides instructions for performing many maintenance tasks. In the next lesson, you'll learn how to use the Windows 95 Help System. When you return to the Windows 95 tutorial menu in a moment, just click on Lesson 9 to begin. Until then, goodbye.